Dear friends, yes, it is absolutely necessary to live on this side of Christmas, to know the life of Christ, to have Him live in us, to walk in His light, to accept all of His truth, to have this hope in us that regardless whether we live or die, we will one day at His return go to heaven with Him. But what else does it mean? In 2 Peter 3:18 it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We are to mature. There has to be a progress in the Christian life. The Apostle Paul says this in Hebrews 6, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." We need to grow. And so in this next study, I want to speak about a subject that is extremely relevant to our day because it goes on right now. It's the judgment hour. Of course, I want to look back to Christ and the cross. That's my foundation. There is no other foundation but that one. But friends, if we are to grow, that means to study the Scriptures through prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, we will discover new truth. The truth for our day, and the truth for our day is that judgment is in session now. Now there is a very simple test that you can make, whether I'm speaking of my own or whether I'm speaking from the Scripture. And that's in John 7:17. "If a man chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." Is your heart right toward God? Do you accept new truth? Are you willing to walk in Christ's steps all the way in total obedience? If you do, you will soon find out as you listen to this next talk whether I'm speaking of myself or whether I'm speaking of God. My dear friend, since 1844, we have been living in a time and under conditions that parallel the Day of Atonement of Old Testament times. At that time, the Israelites were asked by God to search their hearts, to move closer to God, and turn their backs on all known sin. The person who refused to repent and forsake sinful habits was cut off from the Israel of God. Today, the Lord asks all believers in Him to do the same. So if there is any doubt in your mind as to the sinfulness of any thought, of any habit, of any attitude, of any action, please, for your sake, correct it quickly. Give it up, forsake it, or else you are in danger of being cut off from the people of God, since God's judgment is in session right now. In these last days in which we are living now, the Holy Spirit has been gracious in shedding much light on the prophetic statements of the Bible dealing with God's judgment, because these prophecies are being fulfilled right now. The judgment of God and the biblical teaching regarding the heavenly temple are neglected themes in Christendom. Many good Christians have never even heard of them. Nevertheless, they belong to the tenets and beliefs held by the Christian churches of the first century. These truths were lost over the centuries, but now have been rediscovered, and like precious gems are shining again in full light and glory as the church expects the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, the Bible has many references to the judgment of believers. Hebrews 10:30. the Lord shall judge his people. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Peter 4:17, 18. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Revelation 14:7. The hour of his judgment is come. Romans 2:6-8. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, indignation and wrath. Matthew 24:13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. These texts show that God's judgment does not arbitrarily result in condemnation, but in many cases in God's approval. Such a judgment or examination is taking place in heaven today. Genuine Christians will not be condemned in the judgment. Nevertheless, the record of their lives will be examined. The great grand jury of heaven is presently in session, and when the judgment of believers is finished, Jesus Christ will return. All believers since Adam, whose names are written in the book of life, are being judged. The court of heaven examines whether the believer has accepted the light God has given him and has been willing to be conformed to the character of Christ. God is revealing the life records of believers because he desires to demonstrate to the inhabitants of the universe that those who are going to be saved and those who will be rejected have been treated with infinite justice and love, and that every man is responsible for his own destiny. Man lost his righteousness through the sin of Adam. The only way man can be saved is by obtaining the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The believer is offered this righteousness in two different ways. It is both imputed and imparted to him. By imputed, I mean that Jesus Christ not only forgives the sins of the believers by his blood on the cross, but also that he places the perfect record of his own life to the believer's account. By imparted, I mean that Jesus Christ, during the lifetime of the believer, dwells in him through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gradually changes the character of the believer until Christ's character is reproduced in him. It is the Holy Spirit who gives him the power to conform his life to all the commandments of God. There have always been believers who desire to receive Christ's imputed righteousness while refusing his imparted righteousness. They may not have it. God will not be mocked. Such persons show that they do not love Jesus sufficiently to desire to become like him. They do not respect his commandment. The result is that such persons give the appearance of being Christians, but their actions contradict their words. Their old sinful nature is still in control. They have not allowed Jesus Christ to reign in their hearts. They do not know him as Lord, only as Savior. They do not reflect the goodness and love of Christ in their daily lives. They do not reflect his holiness. Such persons will not receive the imputed righteousness of Christ in the judgment. Jesus will not intercede for them. Their names will be removed from the book of life. They are condemned in spite of their claim to be believers. Jesus Christ is the central figure of this judgment or examination. He has been the key figure in the unfolding and outworking of God's plan of salvation. Our human minds cannot grasp the full meaning of the work he has done for us. He is over all, God blessed forever, Paul said in Romans 9:5. Christ is all and in all, Colossians 3:11. He is the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. He is the creator and upholder of the universe, Colossians 1:15-17. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of God's act of redemption. He is the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 22:13. On the successful fulfillment of the plan of redemption depends the vindication of God's character. God could not have entrusted the outworking of His plan to anyone else. Only His Son could carry it out to completion. Jesus is the promised Lamb of God, John 1:36. He is the Savior of mankind, Acts 5:31. When Christ ascended to heaven, He took with Him many believers whom He had resurrected as the first fruits of His great victory over sin and death. Ephesians 4:8, Matthew 27:52-53. When He returned to heaven, Jesus received back the glory He had shared with His Father before His incarnation. John 17:5. He went to prepare a place for all believers. John 14:1-3. Christ became our only high priest. Hebrews 4:15-16. The only mediator between man and God. 1 Timothy 2:5. Christ is in heaven to intercede for His saints and to hear and answer the prayers of all men who call on His name for salvation. Hebrews 7:25. He also sustains the entire universe by His power. Hebrews 1:3. Dear friend, in the face of such a great God, we can only bow down in humble adoration and worship Him. The same Jesus is presently the central figure of the judgment. He is the judge, the advocate of those whom He was permitted to indwell, and the King. John 5:22-27. 1 John 2:1-2. Revelation 19:16. My words are inadequate to express matters of such deep spiritual nature. God was gracious to give man a partial understanding of the great events taking place in heaven. And that's what we want to talk about now. Because this is present truth. This you need to know. This is happening right now. Sinful mankind can only be saved from sin and death by a member of its own race, namely a sinless man. Only a man can effectively represent the human race in heaven. Only a man can take the redeemed to heaven. For these reasons, the Son of God had to become the Son of Man. The Bible says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Romans 8:13. Jesus Christ will remain forever the Son of Man. God the Father has given His Son forever to mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Revelation 1:13. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is a supreme hero of man's salvation. Yes, I say it again, Christ is all in all. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament ceremony in which the lambs were sacrificed for the forgiveness of sin. He is our Redeemer from sin and death, our Mediator before God the Father, the only High Priest in the heavenly temple. He is our Judge, He is our Advocate, our King. God endowed man with a free will and demands that we accept the responsibility that goes with this great gift. God's judgment of mankind has therefore become a most relevant part of the plan of salvation. The Word of God contains many statements regarding the judgment. The book of Hebrews, a letter written to the Jews living in Jerusalem, and the book of Revelation, a message given to John by Jesus Himself, contain many references to the judgment. Dear friend, you and I must know that since his ascension, Jesus Christ has been on the right hand of his Father as the sole mediator of mankind. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. After his substitutionary death on the cross, Jesus Christ became by divine ordinance the high priest of mankind in God's temple in heaven, after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. As he says also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:1 and 6. Yes, God has a magnificent temple in heaven, created by himself. The Bible says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:11 and 12. And he goes on, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:22 to 26. Then we read, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Revelation 11:19, Revelation 15:5. Since the ascension of Christ, a continuous service is being held in God's temple in heaven. It will last until the end of the time of probation. Now, why is a judgment necessary? Before the Lord Jesus' second coming, there must be an examination in heaven of the lives of all believers since Adam. God considers that such a judgment is essential for the benefit of all intelligent beings of the universe. Since some men are condemned and some saved, Satan accused God of partiality and injustice. For this reason, God chose to disclose the record of every man in a public hearing at the heavenly court, attended by multitudes of angels forming a grand jury. The life of every person examined discloses God's infinite grace, his justice and righteousness. We read in the Bible, and they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. And I heard another voice out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Revelation 16:7. Dear friend, you cannot escape this judgment. God's judgment is an inevitable fact. Jesus himself spoke of it. He said, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if thy mighty works, which have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Matthew 11:22-24. Then the Apostle Paul spoke of judgment. He said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24:25. It is part of God's plan, my friend, this judgment. We read in the Bible, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That was Hebrews 9:27-28. Don't you tremble at the very thought that the heavenly court is in session and that your destiny might be determined right now? Jesus Christ is the judge. We read in John 5:22-27, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. John 5:22-27. Look it up. Jesus Christ is also the advocate, namely of his redeemed, the one who accepted him and accepted his life, his light, his words, and lived by them. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We also know that God the Father is presiding, while multitudes of angels make up the grand jury. That we read in Daniel 7:9-10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. The basis of the judgment is the law of God and man's conscience. The court investigates whether the believer consented that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, lived in him and conformed his life to the law of God. We read in the Bible, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. That's the Ten Commandments, James 2:12. Then in Romans 2:12 we read, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Dear friend, every believer, regardless whether he was faithful or not, is judged by Christ. That again we read in the Bible, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Then in Romans 2:16 we read, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now people will not appear personally in the judgment. You will be judged in absentia. The life of every person is examined according to the book of the deeds kept in heaven. Angels who are always watching us will testify. In Revelation 20:12 we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Yes, it was in Revelation 20:12. And the amazing thing is that the Bible says plainly that judgment begins with the house of God. That means His church. Those who claim to be believers. We read in the Bible, for the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17-18. Now, those believers who through repentance and conversion have surrendered their lives to the control of the Holy Spirit, they have accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They will be defended in the judgment by the advocate, Jesus Christ. We read again in the Bible, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Or, the Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he's judged. Psalm 37:33. Either the believer's name remains in the book of life, and his sins are blotted out from the record, or his name is removed from the book of life, and his sins remain on the record. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. When the last believer is judged, the investigative judgment is finished, and Jesus Christ will leave his temple. We read in the Bible, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. That was Revelation 15:7-8. From that moment on, there will be no mediator and high priest before God the Father to plead for mankind. It means the seven plagues will be poured out on Babylon without mercy. A rebellious mankind will be at war with God Almighty. The Bible says, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That was Revelation 16:14-16. And God's unchangeable verdict will be, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22:11-12. The time of probation for man will have ended. You see, as in earthly courts, the proceedings in heaven follow the same pattern. First is the hearing, the examination of the case. This is followed by the verdict. Then comes the execution of the verdict. Before the return of Jesus Christ, God pronounces the verdict of eternal life or eternal death on every human being. Then Jesus will return to earth to execute the verdict. The Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. Or, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting life, fire, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, 31 to 34, and verse 41. Now, when we study the Jewish sanctuary, we see that it is a symbol of the entire plan of salvation. You see, Israel was given the whole gospel in object lesson. God explained to Israel his plan of salvation through symbols, such as the sanctuary, its services, and its priests. The sanctuary was a beautiful illustration of the work Jesus Christ would do to save man. The Bible says, For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. That was Hebrews 4:2-6. In the court of that sanctuary, the lambs were killed, then burned on the altar. This was symbolic of Christ's death on the cross. The basin of water stood for baptism. The events that took place in the court represent our justification. Then, as we move into the holy place, the lamps signified the light of the Holy Spirit by which you and I are to walk every day now that we are born again Christians. The table of showbread and wine was symbolic of the body and the blood of Christ. And the altar of incense spoke of the merits and righteousness of Jesus received by faith. The ceremonies held by the priest in the holy place represented our sanctification. Then the most holy place contained the Ark of the Covenant. And in that was the law, the mercy seat on top, the two angels, the presence of God's glory, the Shekinah, and Aaron's rod, then a pot full of manna. Now all this was symbolic of the judgment, but also of our glorification. The Bible says, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:29-30. Then there was a day of atonement. Now that's extremely important to know because it's relevant to our day. Through the daily animal sacrifices, the confessed and repented sins of the individual believers were transferred to the sanctuary. On the yearly day of atonement, the sanctuary was cleansed from all accumulated sin. This was a day of judgment for Israel. The Bible says, But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Hebrews 9:7. Or, also on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. and ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, shall be cut off from among his people. Leviticus 23:27-29. And we also read in the Bible, it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister to the priest's office in his linen clothes, even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the sanctuary of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and all the people of the congregation. Leviticus 16:31-33. Now, the longest time prophecy recorded in the Bible is closely connected with the events taking place in the Jewish temple at that time. In other words, God foretold the time of the beginning of the judgment in heaven, which is also called the cleansing of the temple in heaven. Since the fall of man, all confessed and repented sins have been accumulated in the temple in heaven. The Bible says, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. 1 Timothy 5:24. As the earthly temple was cleansed once a year, so the heavenly temple must be cleansed also by the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10:4. Now Jesus asked us to study the writings of Daniel carefully today. The Bible says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Matthew 24:15. Daniel predicted the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary in these words, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13-14. Now one prophetic day equals one calendar year. The Bible says, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Ezekiel 4:6. Now Daniel could not have referred to the earthly temple in Jerusalem, since that temple was to be destroyed in 70 AD. No other sanctuary existed on earth. His prophecy therefore must be understood to apply to the time of the end of the world. The Bible says, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Daniel 9:17-19-26. And God himself gave Daniel the explanation of this prophecy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel to enlighten him. The Bible says, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Daniel 9:21-23. Now, 70 times 7, or 490 years, belonged to the Jews. 1810 years remained for the Gentiles. And the 2,300 years embrace the entire prophecy. The beginning of the 2,300 years was to be 457 B.C. The Bible says, "Now therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubles time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end therefore shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." Daniel 9:25-27. "And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinim, into Jerusalem, in the 7th year of Artaxerxes the king." Ezra 7:7. Now the end of the first part of this time prophecy, namely 490 years, was to be the year Stephen was martyred in 34 A.D. And the 2,300 years ended in 1844 A.D. In 1844 A.D., God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the heavenly host entered the most holy place in the temple in heaven. This was the beginning of the judgment of the believers of all ages. The expression "cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary" denotes the blotting out of sin. The Apostle John referred to the prophet Daniel when he wrote, "The hour of your judgment is come," Revelation 14:7. The price for our sins was paid by Jesus on the cross. He exclaimed, "It is finished." This was the atonement. Although Jesus opened the way for all men to be reconciled to God, only those are saved from eternal death who accept Jesus as personal Savior and are willing to receive His righteousness. Oh, friend, I believe personally that the judgment in heaven is about over. It's nearing the end. And you and I must be ready for what's coming. Because the signs predicted in the Bible that are to precede the return of Christ are rapidly being fulfilled before our very eyes, in the world, in Christendom, and in the remnant church. His advent is imminent. This means that the judgment in heaven and the last warning given to mankind in the form of the 3 angels' messages are drawing to a close now. The Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." The faith of Jesus, justification. The commandments of God, sanctification. That was Revelation 14:6-12. And then the Bible says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Matthew 24:12. And aren't we experiencing that right now? There is no genuine love anywhere, or very, very rarely. Today, friend, we live in a time of judgment. Now, isn't that important to know? The apostasy in Christendom and the general rebellion of mankind against God are reaching their climax now. On the other hand, there are Christians who are willing to follow Jesus and His teachings at all costs. The Bible says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." Revelation 14:4-5. These men and women did not just accept Jesus as Savior, but as Lord as well, and lived by every word that proceeded from God's mouth. Now, if you haven't known this, or if you have been living in sin, there is still hope, my friend. Today, God is still calling sincere men and women of every race, religion, and social level to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and obey all His commandments and teachings by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of these teachings is the judgment. Now, shall we not accept this revelation from God? It is not a man-made doctrine, but has been in the Bible from the very beginning. It's a gem of biblical truth that has been rediscovered by careful Bible students. Because truth is progressive. Now look, 2,000 years ago, mankind sat in judgment over Christ, over God. They arrested Him, condemned Him, turned Him over to a cruel and shameful death. Although He was innocent of any crime, now the same person, the same God, the same Lord Jesus Christ sits in judgment over mankind. However, my friend, His heart is moved with compassion and infinite mercy for man. Men showed no mercy for Jesus there when they tortured and crucified Him. But Jesus, judging us, is showing infinite mercy for us. Yes, He is not willing that any should perish. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. Oh, my dear friend, in view of these momentous times we live in, should we not say, "In the path of Thy judgments, O Lord, we wait for Thee. My soul yearns for Thee in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks Thee." Isaiah 26:8-9. And add to this the words of the broken-hearted publican, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Luke 18:13b. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friend, the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over us. That means you and I do not have to live in any sin. We do not have to be chained to any sinful habit. There is complete release, complete freedom from sin. There is freedom from sinful thoughts. There is freedom from sinful words. There is freedom from sinful acts, from sinful motives. When you allow the Trinity to live in you, He will conform you to God's image. You become God-like. But how few are cooperating with the Holy Spirit today? You can go into any town in America, anywhere, and what do you see? Video stores, where you can rent or buy the filthiest movies or the most violent movies. And people, yes, Christians, go and rent those things, take them into the living rooms, and they gorge their eyes and their imagination on this sex. Just like Israel of old. What were they doing after they built the golden calf? They danced around it naked. Dear friend, Israel was broken because of their love for sex and their stomach. Sex and stomach was their downfall, and it's the same today. We worship our stomach and we worship sex. We worship orgasm on a worldwide scale. And all this, while the judgment is going on, the whole human race is dancing on the top of its own casket. And they don't know it. That's why it's so important that you and I, who know this truth, go out in all the quarters of the earth and tell them, judgment is here. The judgment hour is come. Repent. Forsake your sins. Accept Christ's righteousness. Accept His Holy Spirit. Cooperate in obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why do you want to perish? Why do you want to stop existing? Because that's what second death is. You stop existing forever. There's no end to eternal death. Just like there is no end to eternal life. Don't you love life? Don't you want to live? Don't you want to live a beautiful new earth? With beautiful hills, lakes, rivers, the tree of life. The believers of all ages will be there. You will meet Moses. You will meet Daniel. You will meet Paul. All the intelligent beings of the universe will come and visit us. You can tell them of your experience on planet Earth. You'll see Jesus. You can go for walks with Him, talk with Him, ask Him any question. Oh, man alive, what binds you to this earth? Are you going to give up all this for the body of a woman or a body of a man because you're craving for illicit sex? Are you going to give heaven up because of money, the love of money? Or because of vanity, pride, intellectual pride? Or for materialism? It doesn't make sense. A person who does that must be insane. Have you been brainwashed by Satan? I beg you, if you have been hearing my voice, I want you to bow right now. I want you to go on your knees right now with me. I'm going too. And let us pray together. That such a tragedy will not overcome you, but that you will be cleared in the judgment which is going on right now. That your name will remain in the book of life, not blotted out. Do you realize that you can be a baptized member of the remnant church and go to hell? If you love sin. The genuine believer hates sin. The phony believer loves sin. That's the difference. The Lord said very early in Genesis that sin crouches at the door, ready to jump at you, but you must overcome it. How? By the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of God. Those two. By the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of God. We can overcome sin. Yes, indeed. I've been a Christian now for 35 years. I accepted Christ after a terrible life of sin all through Europe and America. And I know what it is to be liberated from sinful habits. And I testify that the Holy Spirit has done it in me and can do it in you too. But you must submit, surrender hourly to Him. Die to self daily, hourly. Feed your soul to the Scripture and to this beautiful book called the Spirit of Prophecy. Through prayer, meditation, and by passing all these truths to others, being engaged in the salvation of others, then God will do miracles in your life. And you will radiate with the love of Christ and the holiness of Christ, the truth of Christ. People will see Jesus in you. They will say, I've seen Jesus. I challenge you. Go all the way now. The hour of judgment is here. Don't fool around with sin anymore. Be done with it. And you who are beset by Satan, cry out, Lord Jesus, remove Satan from me. And He will. The name of Jesus is so powerful that Satan trembles and runs when you call on that name. So let's kneel now and let's pray. Oh, Father, what a revelation. The judgment hour is here. The grand jury is deciding the destiny of each one of us. Oh, Lord, be merciful to each one of us. We don't want to perish, Lord. We want to live in your presence. Therefore, give us the gift of hating sin and self and the world, the pleasures of the world. Help us to love others, sinners, yes, but not love their sins. Help us to turn our backs to sin, to make a covenant with our eyes that we shall not look even at immoral pictures, violence, that we shall be honest in everything we say, do, think, clean up our thoughts, and give us empathy for others. Help us never to look down on the sinner. Help us to go out and put our arms around people and lead them in love to the foot of the cross. Help us to encourage others, not discourage them. Help us to give them hope as we witness from home to home, from house to house, from street to street. Let us crawl, if necessary, on cut glass and our bare knees to the next city to tell the world that the hour of judgment is here, so that the blood of those people will not be in our hands. Oh, God, be merciful to us, sinners. Cleanse us, renew us, make us clean, make us as white as snow by your blood. Thank you that you're doing it because you love us and because our desperate need. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.